12 minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is Tuesday morning and we look at our technology news. Technology and science is what we take a look at on a Tuesday morning, learning about the different things happening around the world and different breakthroughs in science and technology and probably how that would be affecting us as well. We are living in a country where we are not that technologically advanced. Mind you, we have good cell phones and a bit of other tech in our homes and in our lives, but we are not that technologically advanced. And if you look at the Western countries that have much more improved technology, infrastructure and internet and the like thereof, technology is basically a part of their lives. Now, when we take a look at technology, we learn different things every day. And this technology that we learn from and we learn about, it perhaps could improve our lives as well. And the technology could also be used to maybe make our lives a bit more difficult, to make our lives a bit more problematic. Now, technology also gives us a good view and idea of what the rest of the world lives like. You look at technology gives us an idea of, you know, you attach to cameras to animals and you see how the animal moves about. You put little cameras into your body to see how the inside of your body works and operates. You put cameras into different places to see how those different things work and operate and how and what makes them tick, and that gives us a good insight. It gives us a good understanding, good knowledge of what is happening, and it also enables us to then make decisions and manipulate and use those things either to cure or to help us in some or the other way. Now here's a man who tried to live as a goat. Now what does this mean? A person called Thomas Thwaites, a 34-year-old researcher from London, has spent past year creating prosthetics that allow him to roam around on all fours. So he created prosthetic limbs that allowed him to walk like a goat, and he studied their behavior, he learned their way of communicating, and even attempted to create an artificial goat stomach to allow him to eat grass. And he spent a 3-day trip to the Swiss, in the Swiss Alps, and he lived as a goat, roaming the hills with a herd. He said he wanted to be first an elephant, and then he ended up behaving like a goat and being like a goat, and he learned a lot about their lifestyle, their ways, and what they look for, how they live, how they eat, and then he at least got some information. Now you learn to live like an animal, or you behave like an animal, and then by behaving like an animal, then you learn their ways, and perhaps it could be a means of then further understanding how to help them and assist them in times of need, and how to assist them in times of difficulty as well. Another science story. This is something that's been making rounds all the time. We're finding issues that are coming up like this, issues related to this, but here it comes once again. Violent video games do trigger aggressive behavior. That's according to decade-long review. Now this team conducted a review of 300 studies published between 2005 and 2013. And what they did now, they conducted the review and stopped short of saying that violent games such as Call of Duty and Grand Theft Auto led directly to criminal acts. However, they did not do that because they cited lack of evidence. Now, the findings have prompted a call for more parental control over violent scenes in video games. From the American Psychological Association, a report from APA Task Force on Violent Media concludes the research demonstrates a consistent relation between violent video game use and increases in aggressive behavior, aggressive cognitions, and aggressive effect, and decreases in pro-social behavior, empathy, and sensitivity to aggression. The report said no single influence led a person to act aggressively or violently. Rather, it was an accumulation of risk factors that resulted in such behavior. And you look at these video games, look at what they make you do, or look at what you have to participate in. You have to take your gun, point it at a person, put the head in the crosshair, pull the trigger, and you shoot a person. That is how it works, which is definitely troublesome, and it's definitely an issue, because then it becomes it's an alternative reality for you, and then it becomes a real thing. So then you have a person trying to enact those things in real life, and that becomes then a problem. Another tech story, a story that we've picked up again, going up space elevating a tower 12 miles high could one day give astronauts a leg up into the cosmos. Now, I looked at the story the Canadian space firm called Thoth, and they have outlined plans for an elevator to space, potentially saving huge amounts of fuel and money that form part of the vast cost of launching rockets into orbit. They've been granted a U.S. patent to build a freestanding tower that reaches 12 miles, 20 kilometers above the planet's surface. Space tower would be more than 20 times the height of Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world, and they claim that the space tower will also include self-landing rocket technologies to herald a new era of space transportation. And then you have, say, from the top of the tower, space planes will launch into a single stage to orbit, standing at the top of the tower for refueling and reflight. Other designs for space elevators have involved complex designs using graphene or carbon nanotubes, and there's a whole lot of explanation there. But now, why I looked at this particular story was that the issue is the issue that comes up. It reminds me of one of the enemies of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Namrud, when he gave the instruction to his ministers, and he said, اجعل لي صرحا لعلي اطلع الى اله موسى. Sorry, that was Musa alayhi salam. And Fir'aun gave that instruction, that build me a tower so that I can reach the God of Musa alayhi salam. And you know, it was when I looked at the story, immediately I thought of this verse of the Quran Kareem, and it brings me to an understanding that the superpowers, whoever they are, they at this time they wouldn't say that no, we're building this so that we can establish whether there is really a God or not. They'll use alternative names and alternative ideas and advertising, say this is a space tower and this is all of these different things. But the reality is that whatever they are doing, they want to eventually play God, or they want to even try and refute the existence of God, which they haven't ever been able to successfully do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and protect us from misleading information. This tower is perhaps in a thought stage at the moment, but the way technology is going, nothing is very far from the ideas at all. Another story that comes up is technology rotting your brain? There's a headline that says, heavy mobile phone and internet use linked to poor attention span. Heavy internet and mobile phone users are the most likely to lose concentration and forget important information, even when they are not using the technology. It's not all down to the internet and social media, as the effect was observed even in those whose phones were not connected to the internet. People who use mobile phones and the internet most heavily are more likely to make mistakes, be forgetful, and have worse spatial awareness. Dr. Lee Harrington of De Montfort University, Leicester, asked 210 people aged 18 to 65 to rate their behavior in areas linked to perception, memory, and motor function. found the more times a person used the internet or mobile phone, the more likely they were to experience cognitive failures. And it includes not turning up to appointments, having trouble paying attention while in conversation, and forgetting why they went to one part of the house, to another. And, you know, we need to understand more about whether it's affecting the way we think. We're almost oblivious to the impact that it could have on us. And research released earlier this year showed that smartphones are making us less able to think independently, as we rely on looking up information that we don't know rather than thinking things through for ourselves. And if we don't know something, then all we need to do is Google it and the answer comes up on the screen for us. Well, those are the few stories that we looked at in our tech issue and in technology issues. We shouldn't become so dependent on our cell phones, and we need to establish reading. That is an important factor for us all, that we need to establish the ability, the time, the desire, the strength, and the resilience to read. Reading different issues, reading books, and getting information through reading. This is what we need to do, and what we need to take benefit from. And reading, inshallah aziz, opens up so many doors of knowledge and information, and so much of benefit for us that we really cannot attach a true value to reading. And we have become very minimal readers. In fact, when it comes to children, between children and parents, there is very, very little reading that actually goes on. And this is what we need to improve, inshallah aziz. Well, shukran for listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam. We're going to be taking a break. We'll be coming back with Malana Yahya Bam. Stay tuned.
Mom, I'm hungry.
The food is not done yet, my love. But I have a killer fragrant rice in the meantime.
Wow, Mom, this rice is so soft, fluffy, and smells lovely.
Yes, my child. This is the purest fragrant rice that you'll ever find and will certainly satisfy any hungry belly.
Mmm, thank you, Mommy, for buying a killer fragrant rice.
For more info on Akila Fragrant Rice, call Flavor Foods on 011-493-2397.
Takbir. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest.
Santac, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanasia, 35 Cuckoo Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022. And receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. In the Gauteng province, our team will be in Roshni on Tuesday, the 18th of August, on Mukhtar Avenue. Contact number 079-138-4961. Technicians for the Gauteng region, Ibrahim Shah, 079-138-4961. Maulana Ibrahim Pirali, 074-034-7860. Abdul Haq Panchbhai, 074-786-7860. Safwan Khan, 061-257-5789. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
A world-renowned Nasheed reciter, Qari Ihsan Mohsin Qasmi of India,
will grace the shores of South Africa as a special guest of Madrasa Zia Ul Badr for a month-long tour in August, inshallah. Madrasa Zia Ul Badr, in conjunction with Spiritual Cause, will be hosting an array of fundraising dinners and massage programs across South Africa. For further information, call Kari Musa Sida on 083-786-4221.
South Africa's premier Islamic event, the 10th National Quran Memorization Competition Finals 1436, will be held on Saturday, 22nd of August, at the Nizamiya Masjid in Midrand after the Maghrib prayers. Winners will represent South Africa at the International Quran Memorization Competition in Mecca, in addition to winning prizes worth over 100,000 rand. Miss this opportunity to listen to some of the country's finest youth reciting the noble Quran. Special guests include Mufti Ismail Menk. This event is organized by the South African National Quran Committee under the auspices of the Office of the Religious Attaché, Royal Embassy of Saudi Arabia, and sponsored by Segar's Home, Motleka Holdings, Foshe Motors Vereniging, Neon Printers, Al Baraka Bank, and the Old Mutual Al Baraka Equity Sharia Funds, World of Fragrances, and Creative Curve. The SAMQC's 10th National Quran Memorization Competition Finals, 1436.
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Molana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashriq, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Molana Yahya Bam, Molana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Khamisa.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's just 29 minutes after 11. My guest for the second half hour of the program today is Mulana Yahya Bamsa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mulana.
How are you keeping today?
Shukr khudai paak, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, shukr. Mulana, as the days go by, we have, alhamdulillah, passed through the month of Shawwal, and yesterday was the first of Dhul-Qa'dah, and then we come very close to the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the most Mubarak and blessed days. Inshallah, Aziz, in our program today we look at the days of Qurbani and Hajj, inshallah.
Inshallah. Mulana, the Hujjaj have already started leaving. The first flights had been leaving already, and by the fazl of Allah, many are settled in Medina Munawara. Those that are going first to Makkah are already settled in Makkah to Mukarrama. And it is the month of Hajj. The kafilas, the caravans of Hajj have left already, Mawlana.
Yes, alhamdulillah. People that are traveling for Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the journeys easy. It's a most beautiful safar. And when you're just going out for your Hajj, I think it can be the most exciting time of your life.
On the side, Mawlana, people are preparing for that which is the next in line that brings us close to the city of Mecca and the ibadat of Hajj, a resemblance to a certain level. And that is in the form of the Qurbani, Mawlana.
Yes, we have the days of Qurbani coming up. And, you know, just yesterday we did the lesson with our students in Tashir al-Fiqh in class 7. And we did Qurbani and Udhiyah. There's many factors that we have to learn about in this.
Yeah, Maulana, on the one side, yes, it is not only a creative word, and the masala needs to be understood. There are people that are of the interpretation or that might understand it, that hey, if we did Qurbani a few years ago, or sometimes we do Qurbani, it's a good thing. If Allah Ta'ala has given them wealth, they should know that every year Qurbani has to be done. And it's not wealth to the excessive level, but if a person is basic in his home to eat and to live, then the Qurbani needs to be done. Maulana?
Mm-hmm. Yes, when a person doesn't have to have the nisab for the whole year like zakat, but the person should have the nisab on the day of Eid al-Adha. That is the condition for Qurbani being fard. And we need to understand all the rulings. There are many different rulings, different aspects, different scenarios. You know, just yesterday a person asked me a question that, Maulana, I have money, but I want to make Qurbani on behalf of the marhums first. So in that case, a person needs to understand that as much as we love our marhums and as much as we want to send Isal al-Thawab for them, but the obligation first is if you have money, you have to make Qurbani for yourself. And then if there is extra, then you can make for the marhums.
Yeah, Maulana, that part, one is for oneself. And if the wife has her own money, then a Qurbani for her from the money that she owns, like the bangles and the jewelry that she has, the moment it is of a nisabable amount, then a Qurbani, either he, the husband, does on her behalf, or if he is not doing on her behalf, then she has to have that animal purchased and the Qurbani be made, Maulana. It is not that if the husband is making, that is sufficient from the household. No, everyone, baligh, that holds the nisab on their behalf, Qurbani has to be made, and this will happen every year, Maulana.
Mm-hmm. Gee. And Maulana, when it comes to Qurbani for our young children as well, alhamdulillah, some people have the ability and they make Qurbani on behalf of young children, and this is something that should be encouraged if we have the means.
Yeah, that is that there then is the second stage, Maulana, where Allah Ta'ala has given the husband and he has enough, so he is making on behalf of his little minor children. But if the children are baligh and they have a bank account, then, and they have in their accounts the amount of nisab in their accounts, then they also have to make Qurbani on their behalf by the father is not sufficient. If the father is not making, then it is wajib on the child to have that Qurbani. When I mean child here is that body, young person, Qurbani should be made from that person also. And once the Qurbani of each one on whom it has to be made, those are made, then the next step will be those that have passed away or those that are the minor children, on their behalf also Qurbani be made. And then the next step will be that whether they're going to make it in this country or they're going to send it out to another country where the poor can benefit. It should not be like in some homes, in many places, it is becoming the trend that we have sent the money away, the Qurbani will be done in some African country, or it will be done somewhere in India, Pakistan, and sort of that whole Qurbani practice has been thrown out and sent away to another people that they must do the Qurbani. No, we need to have that spirit alive of the Qurbani. We need to bring it back. We need to revive it. And it should be that some of the Qurbani is done in our home, Yeah, then the extra can be sent away. That's a different matter. Maulana?
Yes, Maulana, we have to start doing that preparation for the Qurbani from now. Start putting money away as well, and also start making effort to look for the animals for Qurbani. And the point that Maulana makes with regards to keeping that Qurbani at home, or doing it at home, or witnessing your own Qurbani being done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed certain people with the wealth and the ability, and they should ensure that they do their Qurbani at home, witness their Qurbani being done themselves, because this is the true spirit of Qurbani, and it fulfills the objective of Qurbani, of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by seeing your animal being sacrificed with your own eyes. That is what truly brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, the expression, Maulana, that being sacrificed with your own eyes, a little more than that will be if a person actually purchases the animal a couple of months before Qurbani, and then rear the animal, look after the animal, get that attachment to the animal, and then allow that Qurbani to be done. That will have even more a greater closeness to sacrificing. When that love and that attachment starts growing for that animal, and then the slaughtering of that animal. In any case, that is a stage which people should try to move towards. But if not that, at least to purchase it and to do the Qurbani, and to be present when that Qurbani is being done. And that will be when one does the Qurbani of that which one loves. A person loves his own wealth, surely enough. But then Sayyidina Ibrahim, Nabiina alayhi salat wa salam, was commanded that among the things that you love, and he was taken in the direction that which you love the most, and that was his son. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam showed to the world that which you love the most, you love Allah more than that, and you are prepared to put that in Qurbani and in sacrifice. If we go in that direction, then there is the true spirit of the muhabba being created, and in this way the giving of the Qurbani, like a person gives the Qurbani on his own behalf and does the Qurbani on behalf of his children, behalf of his wife, behalf of his marhum parents that have left the dunya. Like that, a person can do Qurbani on behalf of his teacher, his ustad, his mashaykh, and like that. Surely, a Qurbani on behalf of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a means of creating that spiritual bond and love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to a great level, Maulana.
When we do the best thing that we can do for our beloved, of a person that we care about, a person that we have love and muhabbat for, is to send the Isale Thawab for them, and to do it in the form of Qurbani, is a great way of repaying them, or of expressing some sort of gratitude to their ihsan upon us. And this Nafil Qurbani should also be encouraged greatly.
Well, a lot of people will do the Qurbani, but the knowing of the masail with regards to Qurbani, that they should find out, get in touch with such programs that are being conducted, go to such programs where there are question and answers, and present your concerns with regards to Qurbani, and let the full knowledge come. With regards to the sending of the money away, it is important that a person has a little further research than just ordinarily giving the money, let it go. How the animal is, what type of animal is being given in Qurbani. Amongst the things that are written, that on the pool Sirat, on the bridge of Sirat, if you have a strong animal that you did in Qurbani here, that animal will be a means of the easiness of the crossing of the Sirat. So let it not be that you send the minimal amount of getting one thin, weak, old animal just for the sake of getting over with the Qurbani. You look at the amount of money that you will spend in a Qurbani here, and then against that you look at the price of the Qurbani in another country, and you say, no man, it's cheaper to do it there, let me send the money away. Now the people that are doing the Qurbani, they are doing it for a reason of getting Qurbani done, I hope. And on the other side it is to take some of the money to save it back for the other dini activities. But the result is you that is having the Qurbani made. You are not getting that opportunity, or you are not giving that meat that you yourself would like to eat, and the type of Qurbani animal that you would like to see that will help you through the bridge of Sirat. So think of it that way. And if you are sending away, let it not be that it's just one in the queue of some 100,000 animals that are being cut, but you got a special contact through which you are sending it, and the better animal is bought there for the poor, they are getting the better meat. Then let it be. Or else do the Qurbani here and get that meat to the right places here, Maulana.
We have to come back to what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a simple statement, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fatibu biha nafsan," that you do it happily, do it with full desire of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do it with full recognition of the importance of Qurbani, do it with the desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased and happy with you. And when we consider that, and when we look at it that way, then we will understand how important, we will understand how we should be focusing on Qurbani, how we should be making an effort that this Qurbani animal is the perfect size, the Qurbani animal is healthy, we take our time in spending and dedicating time to the Qurbani animal, and when we slaughter it by our own hands, with full love and muhabba, with the intention that this Qurbani will bring me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm sacrificing my animal for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then our full reward will come out of that amal as well.
Although it's not easy to get an animal onto our farm, onto our yard, or get it into the living quarters where we are living, but we have seen in certain places, in certain parts of the world, where people will obtain that animal, at least now, after Ramadan or so, and they will keep that animal, they will feed that animal for that month or 2 months, and allow that animal to get closely attached. And in the gullies of Bombay, for example, now you will have people that are purchasing the animals, big, strong animals, and they will be making garlands for them. In the Indian park tradition, they will put mehndi on the animal, beautify it, feed it some very good type of feed, and in this way let that strong animal become even more, so that when they do the Qurbani, it's a different feeling, an attachment to that pit that has grown. And then you will see that while the Qurbani is being made, people in the family also cry when the Qurbani is being offered in sacrifice, Maulana.
Yes, that is important. When the true spirit of Qurbani is adopted, this is how it plays through, that then we become attached to the animal, and we have great love and muhabba for the animal, because then we are sacrificing, like Ibrahim alayhi salam was instructed to sacrifice one of his own, even though we are sacrificing an animal, but it feels like it is our own.
Yeah, if we can't do it every year, at least sometimes try it, do it a year or two, get hold of an animal, drive into the farm area and purchase an animal there and feed it in your home and see what a great difference this type and such type of a qurbani makes to a person's life, Mulana.
Mm-hmm. Yes, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. It's just gone 13 minutes to 12. Mulana, we're going to take a little bit of a break and inshallah we will come back with this discussion after the break.
Ameen.
Stay tuned to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International.
Yo ya no quiero, gracias.
Yo te voy a decir, para mí, es aquí un buen jugador.
Está bien, me rindo.
No matter where you come from or what language you speak, Beres Motor Spares is a place to go. We stock motor spares and car accessories of high standards at an impressive price. Years of experience in the motor spares industry ensures that you get the best advice. Beres Motor Spares, 48 Peter 8th Avenue, Alberton North.
Call us on 011-901-3100. Attention all traders, supermarkets and spazas. Visit Devlin Cash & Carry for all your deep cut specials on all listed groceries. Distributors of the widest range of household detergents and perishable goods. Open 7 days a week. Devlin Cash & Carry. Call 011-989-8800. Corner Klepkas and Person Road, Devlin.
Santac, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanasia, 35 Cuckoo Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022 and receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. Schedule for the KwaZulu-Natal province is as follows. In Verulam, on the 18th of August, at the Verulam Muslim School, contact 083-791-3632 or 032-533-6743. In Pietermaritzburg, on Wednesday, the 19th of August, Mountain Rise Masjid, contact 082-478-6434. In Phoenix, on the 20th of August, 29 Ringstone Place, Unit Number 11, contact 073-786-0786. The technicians for the KZN region, Kasim Variaba, 076-934-3138, or Ismail Henry, 073-372-0646. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Molana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashriq, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Molana Yahya Bam, Molana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Khamisa.
Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's gone 10 to 12 and welcome back to my guest, Mawlana Yahya Bamsab. Bamsab, looking at the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, they are very, very important and pertinent days in which we have to carry out ibadah and come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps we can advise the listeners a little bit about the first 10 days.
Yeah, Mawlana, with regards to the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, these are days wherein with great, great rewards, especially the fasting of the first 10 days, meaning from the 1st of Dhul Hijjah till the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. The 10th is not included because on the 10th there is no roza, 11th and 12th. There is no roza on the 3 days. And it is the days wherein you spend with your family in the qurbani and related matters. But before that, these are great days of keeping roza. The night are great nights of making ibadat and coming into the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let it not be that we waste away these days as in ordinary days. While the Hujjaj are in the days of Hajj, we can get the great benefits of these days if we have to. And if a person doesn't have that chance, then at least the day of Arafah, let it not be that that roza is missed by a person. Maulana?
Yes. You know, with regards to this, there is the hadith Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no deed more precious in the sight of Allah, nor greater in reward than a good deed done during the 10 days of sacrifice. He was asked, not even jihad for the sake of Allah. He said, not even jihad for the sake of Allah, except in the case of a man who went out to fight, giving himself and his wealth up for the cause and came back with nothing. So these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are tremendous in reward, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam testified that these are the best days of this world. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to do pious deeds because of the great virtue of these Mubarak and blessed days. You know, because they are not linked with Ramadan, sometimes we lose the sanctity and importance and the greatness of these days. But we should rather be focusing and inshallah directing and preparing our energies for these Mubarak days.
And then, Maulana, with regards to Qurbani related, one is we spoke about the purchase of the animal, the looking after of the animal, and the Qurbani itself. One is the, another important matter is how we go about the sacrificing, how we should try to be present. If it's a lady's Qurbani, she should also try to come to the place of the sacrifice of the animal. And if she can participate in the actual sacrificing, then she should do so, or at least be present there as her animal is offered in Qurbani. The next two things, the distribution of the meat, and very important, the distribution or getting the skin into its right place for giving benefit to the reason that it can be given in benefit to. With regards to the skin, many madaris, many Islamic institutions will benefit greatly if care is taken that that animal is skinned by a person that knows how to remove that skin, in that he doesn't tear open the skin. It is given proper amount of salt for its tenderizing, and then given into the right place where it can be accumulated, all those skins can be taken, and a reasonable amount for the work of deen that skin can be used in. So that is another matter that people should be mindful about. And before that, with regards to the meat itself, it is not necessary that all the meat be given away. It is not necessary that all the meat is used by a person in that they fill the freezers and this is the whole year stock put together. No. Take some, give some to the families and relatives, neighbors, and let some be given to the poor also. Not necessary to the Muslims only. Animal Qurbani meat may be given to non-Muslims also, and if it's neatly done, well packed and given in a respectable way, it will draw people to the importance of the giving, the jazwa of giving in Islam, and bringing them closer to religion, to the religion of Allah Ta'ala and to the Deen Haqq Mubeen. So therefore, it should be correctly done, Maulana.
This whole part of the Qurbani is in ibadah, the procurement of the animal, the sacrifice of the animal, the way and the etiquettes that we have, and then the slicing, distribution. Every part of it is in ibadah, and every part of it gains us great reward, so we have to do it according to the Sunnah method that was taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Correct, Maulana. And let it not be that we try to get over this in such a way that we have wasted the meat. I know in some cases it is done so haphazardly and in such a non-respectable way that the result is the meat is spoiled. The persons that we have taken to remove the skin are not well acquainted with it. They mess the meat and they mess the skin and all that goes to waste. And that is not what is meant by qurbani. In another matter, with regards to the purchase of the animal, when we negotiate with regards to the animal, it should not be overdone when we start purchasing the weak and sick animal, the way we pressurize the farmer, that he eventually deduces that you need some meat just to get done with the story. No, you have to pay the amount, you have to pay the amount. But it doesn't mean the other way either, that you overpay and we allow the exploitation of the ummah through this qurbani. No, we need those people that will be mindful, that can negotiate the better meat and the better type of meat and the better deals for the type of meat that we want. Another masala that normally comes about, and refer to your ulama and get the guidance with regards to, if you've got a sheep, then the tail that has been cut off for whatever various reasons. Initially ulama did give the ruling because the doing of the qurbani had become so absent from our lives that for the encouragement of the coming of the qurbani, they said, do some qurbani even if the tail is somewhat cut. Now the experience is, and with the better advance in medication for the animals, you do get sheep with full tails and they are being slaughtered. So if we go out to find such animals, you will get them. And let it be that we do the correct animals qurbani.
Ji, Malana, jazakumullah wa khairan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq and understanding. And inshallah we can continue with this discussion next week.
Inshallah. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just a minute before 12. And shukran to my studio operator, Brother Tufail, as well this morning. Shukran to you for listening from Junaid Jasad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.